From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story. But I will say,
I am moderately chatty at times.
At times. But I will say that we have done very little recording today, since that is the purpose of your visit.
This is recording.
This is, and we've now done 16 seconds of recording.
Oh, we're recording right now.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I am. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the triumphant return of Tell Me a Story. This is number 16.
Oh.
And I haven't done this in... Okay, so... I started doing this one. I had a long talk with a nice young lady named Benacosta.
Pentecosta?
Benacosta.
All right.
And Darcy. And she was doing a documentary about marriage equality.
Okay.
17 days in Utah when we had marriage equality before anybody else did.
Oh.
And then we didn't for another year, and then we got it back.
Oh, cool.
And so I had recorded with her that and had no place in the lineup to stick it.
Yeah.
Because it went like an hour, 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So I invented a new show.
Yay.
It's what I do. And then
this
we did
a drugstore Zen production.
No,
it's not.
Defenestrate Media.
Defenestrate Media, yeah. Production.
Yeah, drugstores and that stuff I do with you.
All right.
And it worked out okay, and then Forrest got sick.
Oh.
And when Forrest got sick, it took a lot of my forward-moving energy to keep doing new, bigger, broader things.
Yeah.
And so I set some stuff aside, including Tell Me a Story.
Okay.
But then, out of nowhere...
Out of nowhere.
Like a leaf in the wind. Like off, sand through the hourglass.
Off the Greyhound bus.
Off the Greyhound bus from Missouri comes you. And I have not, it turns out, seen you in these 15 fucking years.
It's been a little bit.
That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts.
But we're still devilishly slim and handsome.
Yeah, that's true.
And hairy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So I want to go back.
All right. All right.
Basically, what we're doing right now is we're just going to tell some stories for an hour.
All right. That's
cool. I'm not even going on the pick a topic, flip a coin. We're just going to chat.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Unless you have a topic.
I got nothing.
Okay. So the first time I remember spending time with you,
yes,
is in my brain wants to say it was a Ford LTD, but I think that was John's mom's car. It was a Plymouth Fury 3.
Yeah, a refurbished cop car,
long and brown,
gold.
Gold.
All right.
Gold. Okay. And you picked me up from my BYU approved apartment.
Oh my god!
Down near the campus of Utah Valley Community College.
Yes.
That now styles itself a university.
You're missing, though, the very first. I looked at you. We were doing Oklahoma, where the waving wheat sure smells sweet.
Right.
And I saw the girl named... Well, anyway, that was the first time I talked to you. And I said, that girl has big boobs.
Just out loud?
Yeah, to you.
Yeah.
Because I thought you might understand.
Yeah.
And it turns out you did.
I did.
Yeah.
I would have. What's that? You remember who it was?
Oh, yeah. I can't say her name. But she's a beautiful girl.
That's true.
And smart and talented.
And?
Yes.
She had a big boob.
Oh.
So, I think you're just trying to, you know what story I'm about to tell. And you're trying
no,
to keep
no.
Telling it.
No, no.
So, here I am, 17 years old. And this older gentleman picks me up in his long, luxuriant automobile.
Oh, it was wonderful.
And there's kid car seats in the back.
Yes.
Which was fun.
And we drove a little, and then we pulled into a gas station.
Oh, man, that was a gas hog.
Uh-huh. We pulled into a gas station, and you said, hey, you drive.
Uh-huh.
Pull around the other side and,
yes.
and pick me up over there. And I said, okay. And so, and I got in the driver's seat, and I pulled around to the other side.
Without a license or with a license?
I had a license.
All right, all right.
I had a license.
And you were ahead of me at the time.
So, there, I'm watching you in the store, and then I see you come out the door with a case of beer.
Two.
Was it two?
Two suitcases.
Two suitcases.
No, yeah, the 24s.
Right.
Yeah.
And I notice the guy working the store tries to jump over the counter.
Yeah.
Catches his toe and trips, but he seemed awful excited.
Put out.
To get to you.
Yes.
At which point I realized vaguely what was happening.
I was walking briskly.
Briskly.
With my suitcases.
And I said, and you turned around and saw the guy getting up off the floor. And you ran to the car and you threw the beer into the back.
Yes. And he said, "Come back, better come back here with that beer."
And there was one each in each car seat,
yes.
as I recall. And then you jumped in, and I was in a state of shock. I did not know what was happening.
I thought it was apparently obvious.
No,
I thought it was
wasn't.
Patently obvious. We need beer. I don't have money. We need to go to the store for this that I thought it
would Going to the store
know.
For beer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Not without paying for the
And
so you looked over at me and said the equivalent of punch it.
Uh-huh.
Or
punch it, Chewy.
Drive. Just something, some exasperated tone where you're half calm and you're just like, drive.
Uh-huh.
And I slammed my foot on the accelerator.
Right, which was a mistake in that
which
car.
Which caused the car to go, whoa.
Dude, I don't know about fuel injection. I don't know anything about
right.
that, but that
and
was...
so you say, again, calmly, you want to take your foot off the gas a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So took my foot off the gas a little bit, and that big fucking 350 horsepower engine just is like, that's what I needed! And, we tire screeched and tailboned out of there.
And got up and over the curb.
Yep.
Into traffic.
In the traffic.
Oh gosh. You're a good driver. You're always a good driver.
Two blocks away
yes.
and hid behind a dumpster.
Behind the place where they make the calls. Can I say it?
Yeah.
McKinley Institute, where we had many, many of our friends doing surveys.
Right.
Yes.
So, after I calmed the fuck down.
Yes.
A little bit. Because I have to admit, I was a little put out, as I recall.
Oh.
I was 17.
Yeah.
I was young. I didn't know that I was going to lead my life a life of crime. So, we go down to the Denny's. Which is the only place to go.
No, this is when, and then while we're still in the car, you said, I don't even like beer.
And you said, how do you not like beer? I said, I just don't like beer. You said, beer is life. Beer is college.
It totally is. How can you not? Seriously, I'm still on it. How can you not like beer? Do you like beer now?
I like some beer.
All right.
I like Newcastle Brown.
Oh, me too. That's a beer syrup.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like... My brother's bar used to have this Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah.
That was just sublime.
In Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I can't say beer's at the top of my list of things I love to drink.
Oh, I love it.
I like a decent scotch. I like a good bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And just not very often. So we go down to Denny's, and we ran into Jeff Schultz.
Schultz.
And you two just sat out in the car in the parking lot and drank that beer.
Oh, so good. Well, I don't recall if it was good, but it was beer, and I was poor, and
yeah.
I believe that we drank it very quickly.
That's, to me, the first time we hung out.
Yes, that is the first time we hung out.
'Cause
not the first time we met.
No, not the first time we met.
Yes.
But that was that Oklahoma? Is that the first time we met? Was
Oklahoma? Oklahoma, where the waving wheat sure smells sweet.
Weren't you hanging around for Dracula?
Dracula was another time, but they did have the coffin. They still had the coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Dracula was the year before, and I came up and worked it as a high school exchange.
Oh, did you? Okay. Fall of 90 was when I was there. Well, I did Arms on the Man before that, but I wasn't going to school there. So the first time I was going to school there on acting scholarship and prop king was at the beginning of Oklahoma. And then the Elephant Man.
Well, yeah, Elephant Man.
Right.
So I remember Oklahoma because that was where I made you break.
Oh, you totally did. And I was poor Judd Fry, and I was very, very scary and very hairy also.
You did a good, I mean, you carried that one off.
And I had a good song.
Yep.
And I handled the song okay.
Yep.
And yeah, he's the only bad guy in the whole show. Everyone else, not the cowboys, not the ranchers, not the money-grubbing white people. I mean, not land-grubbing white people.
Right.
Judd Fry is the bad guy because he loves the girl.
He does love the
girl. He does. He loves her, and he just doesn't know how to express it, except he doesn't know how to express it.
Except for getting up in Curly's business.
Yeah.
Poor Judd is dead. Poor Judd Fry is dead. Now he's looking peaceful and serene.
He gave me that whole song. It was very, very upsetting to me at the time.
Well, maybe not upsetting.
It was upsetting to Judd Fry. He was very, very dang upset.
So,
and then Schultz,
yeah,
in this scene, brought me some postcards. Artistic postcards. He's trying to do Ali Hackam in a...
Oh, so bad. So bad.
Trying to do Ali Hackam in a Middle Eastern accent.
I know.
Which, in the movie and the play, Ali Hackam is a white guy who's trying to be Persian.
Okay.
So, okay. And then he brings me the pornographic postcards.
Which went fine.
Yes.
Most of the nights. And then, I think it was the last show.
Oh, it was the last show.
It was the last
of Oklahoma.
Do you remember Courtney?
It wasn't Courtney. It was Casey.
No.
I remember Courtney. I'll tell you that.
Courtney and Casey. Yeah, Courtney. She's a massage therapist now.
Oh, cool.
She looks way different. She doesn't have the big goth hair anymore.
Oh, okay.
The big Susie and the Banshees do that she had then. Courtney's the one who had the Playgirl magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
Casey and I are the ones who made the postcards.
The artistic postcards.
Right. So, full of penis.
Oh.
And
no, I didn't know.
In the best version of this story, which may not be the most honest version of the story. But, we have
storyteller's license, you and I.
Sure.
We have it.
In the best version of it, Jeff didn't know.
Oh, that's not true.
Or Jeff knew we were doing, Schultz knew we were doing.
Oh, Schultz knew we were doing it. Okay. Jeff
Schultz. We were doing postcards, you know, as we were fucking with the postcards, but he thought that there would be ladies on them as opposed to penis.
Quite a lot.
Yes. And now at the
time. Those guys are big.
Yeah, they are.
Those Playgirl guys.
That's not fair.
All right.
At all. And, but I'm just saying, do you want it to hurt after? No. There's guys for you. Hi. Go for an hour. You're not going to be sore. So in the meantime, I had made several little mice.
Yes, yes.
Several little mice.
Because
out of
the door
tape.
Creaks, the floor squeaks, there's a feed mouse nibbling on a broom.
I decided that the little hut had to be absolutely just infested.
Right, with mice.
So yeah, I think I made 10 or 12 of them and just scattered them all over.
Okay, with masking tape.
Including a drawer you had to go into as part of your acting business.
Uh-huh.
And I put a couple of little mice in there.
Right.
Didn't know why I thought it was funny. But
it was funny.
It was. So Jeff comes out doing Ali Hackam.
Yeah.
And whips out the postcards. Sees peen. Stops.
Tries not to laugh.
Shows them to you.
I totally lost it. I had nothing.
And then he, just to get them out of his face, he just kind of pushes them to the side, revealing to the audience.
Yes.
all of this penis.
And to the lighting people and the prop people upstairs.
So I'm up there. I'm spotlight number two. Big digs, baby. And I am just quietly laughing my ass off. And you can see, much like my desk is shaking because of your nervous legs.
Yes.
But you can see the spotlight I'm running.
Oh, it's just
not on the stage, just wiggling. You crossed your arms.
I did.
Put your head down.
Oh.
And shook.
I totally was just laughing. I couldn't. I was a seasoned professional. I could not get through that. I just, I thought, okay, what would Judd do? Okay, he would be earnest and self-effacing weepy. And weepy, that's weepy. It. So I thought, maybe I can get away with that. But no, I was just covering up some dang giggles.
And so meanwhile, Schultz is out there all by himself in this scene, standing around with a handful of dick. And this is the one where, I mean, we, look, it's the tech crew, a lot of the times, we would pull little stunts.
Right, right.
You know, for closing. And this was the show where everything went nuts.
Uh-huh.
And I am so surprised I didn't get my ass kicked out. It's the one where I threw the rubber chicken on stage.
You threw the rubber chicken over the top of the hypothetical set.
Yeah.
And it came down. And made a little squeak. Over the back of the scenery with this, you know, I mean, you're supposed to be the roof. There's supposed to be a roof. And you're,
well, he shot his gun up, as I recall.
Yeah.
There was somebody shot their gun in the air.
Yeah.
And that's when I threw the chicken. Because when else are you going to throw a chicken?
It is my feeling that you and the crew were not entirely professionally minded at that time.
It was Oklahoma at the Utah Valley Community College.
Yes.
So no, we were not feeling all that professional.
All right.
Which, and now, looking back, now that I'm telling the story out loud, I feel a little bad.
No,
that
don't
was,
feel bad.
That was
no,
Kim Brewster's
bad.
Show, wasn't
it? No, he was in it. It was Doug Jolly. We invited him in. Doug Jolly.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Do you say whatever you want?
Well, it's Doug Jolly, and then later he married Catherine, who was Meredith's mom. And then he directed the Poor Judd Fry Show.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Oklahoma.
Right.
And then Brewster was in it playing the farmer, the old farmer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Farmer and the cowman could be friends, should be friends.
Quack. Then we did Elephant Man.
Yeah, we did Elephant Man.
And
now
I did not fuck around on Elephant Man.
No, but there is something that I will have to admit. That there was a time.
Yeah.
In the show where the actress who is enamored of the Elephant Man, and he says, I've never seen a naked woman before.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she says, no, you've certainly seen some in the carnivals. He said, not a woman of quality or something like that.
Sure, sure.
So she unbuttons her thing, and we're in Utah, so she turns her back to the audience, her blouse, and opens up her blouse. And who is there every night with his little spyglass but Jeff Bell?
No.
Damn last night, you were like,
every single night, I tried to get a look at the boobs.
Oh.
And never once saw them.
Oh, okay.
Never once.
All right. Well, you did try.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
There was no angle.
Okay.
There was no angle except for being fucking Mike Carrasco.
She was Carrasco. Michael Carrasco.
Yeah.
Who is a good actor.
Yeah,
very good.
He was very
and
good.
Did the damn Elephant Man like it was meant to be done. And he did the nerd, and he played the nerd, and he just nailed it. You weren't around for that, probably.
I don't know what that is.
The play, the nerd.
I don't know this play.
Oh, all right.
Is it
do you know The Foreigner?
Is it Neil Simon?
Do you know The Foreigner?
Is it a Mammoth film? Is it?
It is a comedy. It is a farcical comedy. And the guy who wrote The Foreigner also wrote The Nerd.
I know neither of them. I was gone.
Okay. Well, Anyway, he nailed that. And then he went out to L.A. on a scholarship, I think, for graduate school. He went out to L.A. and then he worked at Disneyland, which is a good job and very hard to get. Worked at Disneyland.
Depending on the job.
Well, yeah, but he was one of the Navy guys in the underground submarine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's come back, and I have seen him in quite a number of student films on they wouldn't have made IMDb yet, but I was looking around for Michael Carrasco, and he nailed every last one of them.
Did you catch him in his stormtrooper outfit?
No, I was waiting for you to go with that.
No, he's a stormtrooper.
And he's not a stormtrooper. He dresses like a Star Wars stormtrooper.
I can't remember how to spell his name.
It's two R's. Carrasco. Two R. There he is. See, look what a handsome devil he is. And he's very fit. And then I saw him years later when I was trying out for Beauty and the Beast for the Hale Center.
Uh-huh.
And he's beefy guy. And he happens to be bald in these pictures, and I think he might have male pattern baldness. But I
did
mean,
he catch
that's...
it from you?
Well, I caught it from him. And then he was called back for Gaston. Remember Gaston in Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was called back for us. So I said, "Hey, Carrasco, what are you doing?" He said, and then finally I said, I did not take that fucking reel-to-reel, which...
Well, that's another thing.
Which so, Bob Manning was so convinced...
Well, yeah.
...that I had taken that reel-to-reel when I left Fantastics, that he called the cops. Next time he saw me, called the cops on me. Oh, well. Oh, look. See, he's gone over, and then here's Notre Dame here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for pictures of him in his stormtrooper gear.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm not finding them.
But then he dresses up like a stormtrooper for the comic cons.
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's how I saw him.
And then he goes around. Does he get paid to do that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. But he's very fit, and he would be a formidable stormtrooper.
He is still fit.
Yeah, he is.
So I don't want to belabor Utah Valley ECC anymore.
Oh, you don't want to, just because
I brought up the... Well, that was because I was... Anything you did, I was included in.
Oh, okay.
Because we had a nemesis, and he was a good-looking guy, but his personality was a little bit abrasive.
Napoleonic. I think he had a short man's...
He wasn't that short.
Well, then why did he have a Napoleonic complex?
Well, Napoleon wasn't short either. Oh, okay. Totally get it. No, I think... I have always thought, as far as Manning goes, that he was not as talented as he tried to say he was.
And he felt like he was out of his league. He felt like he was out of his element.
Constantly.
And he was always, always, always trying to be absolutely perfect and absolutely the best at every last damn thing. And then he did the set for the Elephant Man.
It was great.
And the set was great. And he played the part of Dr. Treves. And that suffered because of all of the time that he spent doing the set
right.
And trying to manage everything else in his life,
yeah.
Plus speech forensics, and plus his marriage, and plus, I'm not going to go there.
But he hated our ass. Me, he did not. You, and Johnny and John Carter.
He did not like us.
Did not like us at all.
Because we weren't in the fold. We weren't like... the professional type people that he would have wanted us to be.
No.
That he wants people to be in theater, which is so
tense. Whereas if you just show up, you know your lines and you do a good job at it, that's how it's supposed to be.
Right,
not any of this other existential bullshit that people like Manning try to stick on you, which is there is a decorum to theater. No, there's not. There's backstage fucking, you know, there's side stage blowjobs. It's sin. That's why the church shut the theaters down so many times.
Yeah, the sin.
You know, and
the
and
Catholic Church, Mormon Church likes theaters.
Yeah. Not all.
All right.
But I mean, that's really what it is. Is that there is? I mean, it has been a safe refuge for the LGBT community for
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of years.
For at least like forever since they've been doing them. Since the Greeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, yeah, I love the theater.
Yeah.
I do, but it's assholes like Manning that chase me off.
You know? You have to be a certain way to be in his theater.
They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And I went out to Denver and joined the Union, number 7.
Right on.
The IATSE.
Okay.
And thinking I would go over and do tech crew at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is when you would come back here, I think.
I came back here for a semester.
So, we'll get to Denver.
All right.
In a half hour.
We'll
just babble until we get
we'll
there.
Do a couple. We'll do a couple or three today.
So I ended up over at the convention center rolling fucking carpets.
Oh.
And you had to do at least a year of rolling carpets before you could get the job of taping down the carpets. And if you taped down the carpets for 2 years, then you could pipe and drape.
Okay, well.
And after you did pipe and drape for so many years, if someone died or retired, you could move into the theater.
All right.
Depending on the job track you were on.
But that's a union job. That's a paid, good paid.
Paid very well.
All right, yeah.
But I'm basically on my hands and knees all day. And when I'm not on my hands and knees rolling fucking carpets all day, I am hauling these gigantic fucking carpets, you know, with two other dudes who are inevitably, every fucking time, over on the other end. And then I've just got the one end.
Oh.
So I ended up with, I had scars on the tops. I had giant scabs there on my knees, on my elbows, on my wrists, just from rolling this fucking carpet all
day. Yeah.
So I did it for 5 months. And then was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, well.
And it's not, I didn't have a problem with the hierarchy system. I understand how those work.
Yeah.
But rolling carpet is just utter bullshit. I mean, it really is. And so I said, thank you, but no thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
What I want to do is focus lights and run the damn soundboard and build some damn sets. Yeah. I'm about tired of rolling carpets.
Right. Now, unlike Utah, where the IATSE crew is pretty small and informal.
Yeah.
You know, the one out in Denver was fucking huge.
Oh, yeah.
And so you are faceless.
Oh.
Like the lady that hired me and then the lady I quit to did not remember me.
Oh.
But that's fine. I don't, it's just.
Same lady.
She had no idea. She's like, how long have you worked here? I said, about 3 months. She says,
Oh, okay.
I said, you signed me on. You gave me my paperwork to fill out. She's just like, yeah, whatever. Okay. So Denver.
Okay. We did move to Denver. Okay. After Fantastics. Now, I bailed on Fantastics because of the historic trip to Winnemucca. Or I can't remember the speech trip we went on.
All right, you know what? Let's do that to the half hour and then we'll break. So, we're both on the debate team.
Yeah,
but
speech
debate
and debate.
Also has speech. And for some reason, forensics, I have no idea why that name is attached to it.
No one because ever you analyze things. Analyze things.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
So anyway, there's debaters, there's extemporaneous speakers.
Yeah, and interpreters, interps.
Interps.
Poetry interp, prose interp, dramatic script interp. Yeah.
And
duo scene.
We did that.
Yeah.
I did the 7-minute.
Impromptu. Okay.
And I did the longer extemp.
You did speech to entertain?
Yes. And then did, what was the other thing I did? I won a trophy.
We probably did. I believe you did.
I won lots of trophies.
Yeah, and we probably did duo acts as well. I don't know if you and I ever did one, but maybe you and JC did.
No, I did solo.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Scene. I can't remember what it's called.
Scene.
What is it called?
Yeah, you're making up stuff now.
No, you do a dramatic reading. You got a folder in your hand, and you do a script.
Right.
Yeah.
Different kinds of interps.
Is that what was that called, though?
Poetry interpretation.
Dramatic interpretation.
And prose interpretation.
So I was doing that then.
Yeah, okay.
The dramatic. Okay.
Yes.
And we did
not
that.
To be dramatic, but dramatic from a play.
Or both.
All right.
And we went to
California.
Santa, one of the Santas.
Clarita?
No.
Santa Rosa? Santa Maria?
No. I can't remember, but I had family in town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, okay.
I just can't remember where the fuck they live.
Okay, okay.
This is why we do this show.
And we went.
I don't remember things.
We went on the bus. The speech department was doing pretty well at the time as far as success, as far as, school competitions.
As much as they disliked us.
They kept us.
We kept winning trophies.
Right.
Right.
And then we went, we got a bus, we got the funding to get a whole bus to take our little selves all the way out to California. Well,
people mover.
People mover, yeah.
Engine in the back.
Uh-huh.
Engine in the back. So we go down, we get to Sacramento. We go
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah. Sac State.
Yeah, so we went to Sacramento. And then we left from Sacramento, and we took everybody in the bus. We went down to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which is, what, 50 miles?
Nice.
So it's all like the Provo, basically. Uh-huh. And we spent the day walking around there.
On the wharf.
I cannot remember who the hell I was with.
You and I, for sure.
I have
probably
no
JC, because we went by Haight-Ashbury.
No, I didn't go to Haight-Ashbury.
You did not?
No. So you guys were off doing something.
Going to Haight-Ashbury
I was probably
district.
Following a girl around.
I imagine that's true.
Yeah. And I know we went through Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a cooked chicken.
A cooked chicken.
And just kind of ate it as we walked. Because I thought that's how you do things there.
They were hanging in the windows.
Yeah.
Except they were ducks. Ducks hanging in the windows.
Okay.
All right.
I don't remember. It was orange. It was really tasty. I had a lady. I ate a duck vagina.
Oh, no.
It was not very good.
Oh.
It was like beef jerky, but.
Oh. Well, I guess I wouldn't know that experience. I would not know that.
Yeah. They dry them out. They cut them off, the dead ducks, and they dry them out, and then they sell them in barrels.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Anyway.
And one of the rules of this trip,
regardless
of your age, because we're from Utah, is nobody drink. No judges drink. No people drink. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to drink. So I went out and I got John and I some
40s.
English, old English, 400. Old English, 400.
Uh-huh.
And we finished those malt liquor off things. We just finished them right off. Now, Kim Brewster, the director of the speech department at the time, his daughter came down and said, "You shouldn't be drinking." And she went and told her dad.
Yeah.
So I said, can I say her name?
Yeah, go nuts.
Tia, you really ought to work out more.
Ow.
I did. I totally did.
Ow.
I was very, very upset about all of this. Utah oppression, suppression, and trying to be something that we're not, I'm not. Okay. Trying to act like something, trying to have someone else force me to be something
that
I'm
still
not.
Pretty brutal.
It was harsh. It's
still pretty brutal.
So on the way back on the bus, Kim Brewster, who was also directing Fantastics at the time, said, "Well, Mike," with a big smile on her face, "when are you going to grow up?" And I had come back from Denver.
Mm-hmm.
To do this show with him,
mm-hmm.
because I committed to it, which I thought was a grown-up thing to do, a responsible, a professional thing to do. He says, "So when are you going to grow up?" And he said it a couple times. And I said, I guess I don't know what you're talking about. During this trip, after this previous instance of that happening, bus was having an antifreeze issue.
Oh, that, okay. So before this happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so I am asleep on the floor.
Yeah.
The God Squad is watching fucking Dr. Zhivago again.
Again!
I am wearing, much as you are now, in fact, I think the outfit you are wearing now.
Oh, yes.
And sweat shorts.
Probably not the exact outfit.
No.
All right.
No. And a t-shirt. I believe my Dracula t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
My crew t-shirt. And there was a funny smell.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was because I hadn't worked on cars very much by that point in my life. And so I didn't know that what was about to happen when the yelling started in the back.
Whoa.
Hey, there's hot water, someone says, on the floor in the back. And whoever was driving stopped, which caused the all people the over water. To lean forward. And all this antifreeze, this hot fucking antifreeze, just came rushing down up over my legs.
Oh, so you got burned.
I got very burned.
Oh.
And then they broke us into half, and half went to
Winnemucca,
and the other half went to Battle Mountain.
Right.
I ended up in the Battle Mountain group.
I was with you because we were splitting it. I had my judging money, like it was probably $25 for the entire thing for being a judge.
Yeah.
And as a forensics judge. And then I said, dude, I should save this money, but I just want a damn shower. So we went to Battle Mountain.
Turns out, yes. Winnemucca was the direction to go.
Oh, it was the way to go.
Those guys got put up.
Oh.
They were shown the charity of Christian kindness.
Oh.
All of that. Whereas we ended up, I think, eight of us stacked in one little room.
Oh.
Somewhere, desperately trying to sleep. I'm trying to dry off my stinky antifreeze fucking pants and shirt. Oh, it was just, and I had the chills because of the burns on my legs. And I just remember it being fucking miserable. And I was mostly unaware of what was going on with you as far as, I remember somebody was mad about beer.
Yeah, it was beer.
But there was a girl, and I don't know who it was, but I was very seriously courting her.
Oh.
Because I am pretty sure.
Lori.
No.
No?
No.
We both would have enjoyed courting Lori.
I don't remember Lori.
Oh. All right.
That's all. But yeah, the last...
Lana. Lane. Okay.
I want to say it started with an R maybe or an S?
No, there was the other guy who did the... There was the other guy who directed the Reader's Theater, his daughter. The other guy. There were three Reader's Theaters.
No remembering. I don't know. Okay. I have no remembering of that.
Oh, all right.
Anywhom, so... The last little bit I'll tell before we take a break.
Okay.
Because I got to pee and get some water.
All right.
But the last one was, there was a girl, and I, for the life of me, cannot remember her name, but I want to say it was Maureen.
Okay.
But it's just a name.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we had, she was new to the scene shop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we were outside, and somehow, because this is how it comes, you know, the she won't have sex until she gets married.
Right, because it's Utah.
Yeah.
And because many people decide to do that, which oftentimes is not the case.
So I spent a good 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Debating with her, equivocating.
Yes.
About...
Were you equivocating, Jeff?
Yes. About all of the good reasons for the two of us to get married.
Oh, no, that's a good idea.
Now, obviously.
So you were seriously courting her?
Aggressively.
Aggressively.
But only in speech. I was sitting on a car. I wasn't moving in. I wasn't like, you're going to give me. It was just more like, look, we should get married then. Yeah, why? It just makes good sense.
Okay.
Think about this.
Blonde girl. Blonde lady.
Yeah.
What really fit.
Yes.
Okay.
And you pull in your big Fury 3.
Plymouth Fury 3.
You take a second to suss the situation.
Yeah.
You figure out what's going on almost immediately.
Yeah.
And as you walk past the girl, you said, try and keep in mind he has the attention span of a house full.
Oh, I'm so cold. I was so cold.
The spell was instantly broke. She shook it off as though coming out from under a magical spell. And Jeff? Was just like, what? The hell just happened? And I'm like,
I definitely owe you one for that.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We get back on the other side. We move to Denver.
Oh.
I'm on my best behavior, trying to avoid an early grave.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everything we just talked about, especially the group of people involved, including Mike Rusko, is how the two of us ended up in Denver. You had left and gone back to, you know.
The reason is because after the trip, I was going back to do my part in Fantastics, and Kim, who had just told me, when are you going to grow up, said, you really need to work harder and get your part right.
Okay.
I said, I did not scream, I did not yell, I did not throw anything, which I have a number of different times in a number of different instances. At this particular time, I said, Kim, I think it would be best if I moved back to Denver.
Yeah.
And he covered the part with Troy.
Oh, okay.
Shaved his head, and his son, big guy, also shaved their head, and they were playing the head-shaved twins in the Fantastics.
Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
Like them, but the theater company.
I have never seen Fantastics. I don't know what it is.
It was at UVCC while you were there.
No, I was gone already.
Because
during the Fantastics.
Uh-huh.
When you guys were doing all that, and that was all happening, I was at College of Eastern Utah. They had given me a scholarship when I trounced their interpretive dance or whatever troupe down there at the regionals.
Okay.
And regionals down at College of Eastern Utah, I walked away with a little stack of plaques.
Uh-huh.
I was very delighted.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I got a scholarship down there and was down there for the summer and fall semesters. And then,
and they wanted to go see Cats.
So yeah, they wanted to go see Cats, and I just happened to be up in the area
of Denver.
No, hold on. So we're in Utah. Yeah.
All right.
I am in my December break at College of Eastern Utah. I'm basically, you know, living out of the back of my car.
Yeah.
I've been staying at my dad's place for a couple of days,
and
my trunk's all full of shit. And for some reason, I just ran into him, like at Village Inn or at Denny's. I cannot remember what set it up, but they're all, we're going out to the Denver Center to see Cats. You know, and somebody said to me, you should drive one of the cars.
Oh.
And I said, okay.
Yeah. You're like, you like driving.
That's
one
like
thing you do.
Yeah.
Is like driving.
So I go, I know you're out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you and I were pals, but I wouldn't say at this point yet that we were the insane, star-crossed, weird-ass, whatever it is we are to
one
another.
Dude, we were total pals. Pals.
And so I got a hold of you, letting you know I was out there for a few days. And I didn't have tickets to Cats.
Oh, good.
And they were all over at this weird Mormon lady's apartment.
Oh.
And so in Arvada, Colorado.
Arvada.
And knock, knock, knock. There's Mike.
Hey,
you're there. And I've got my Martin 12 string.
Yeah, at that point.
Oh, I love that guitar. And honestly, it was years before I even deserved to own a guitar that night.
Right.
Years after. And Now, we went over this a little bit the other night, and in my memory, we went right from Arvada to Thornton, Colorado, and I know
No, we stopped at the house, and I was...
Littleton.
I was living in my parents' basement in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
With my wife and three kids.
Yeah.
And why? I don't know, because maybe Kim Brewster was right. I needed to grow up a little. Who knows? At any rate, we came back to the house. I said, here's my friend Jeff, and... Terry, I imagine, would said, oh, my goodness, what are we up to now?
She didn't know me yet.
She didn't.
No.
And then so she met you and said, okay. And we went down in the basement, and we practiced some songs on your Martin 12-banger and whatever very inexpensive guitar I would have had at the time that I probably got from a thrift shop.
Sure.
And we played some songs, and you played Wish You Were Here.
Yes. I said,
oh my gosh. And you played the riff. I said, how does that go? And how does it go? Dun, 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 dun. Wee, dee, 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 dee. And that was sick. I said, dude, we have got to go play an open stage somewhere. So we put together Comfortably Numb.
But at some point, I went, what is that?
It's where you go, and they let you get on the sound system, and they don't pay you.
Nope.
But they...
We did.
Yeah.
We did receive a complimentary house beer.
Yes.
In Thornton.
Yeah. Then we went to Thornton. It was the only place on a Sunday night, and you were heading back. So at the Twin Towers
Lounge. We did that at the end? And in my head, we did it right at the beginning. Because as important as all the stops in Denver that we made are, that one was the most important.
It was the most important.
And so for some reason,
we had to get ready for it.
Yeah.
So we did practice, and I did take you Paris on the Platte.
Yep, Paris on the Platte.
Which it's shut down now.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful, and it's not a hipster place at the time. It was a post-beatnik.
Kind of artsy.
Pre-hippies kind of area with bookshelves all over, mugs, coffee mugs all over the walls, used bookstore in back, original art for sale. And I said, this is the place that's going to hook Jeff. And it came, and there was a waitress?
Yes.
Okay.
Kiri.
Yes.
Redhead.
Oh.
I have professed several times how just knocked over I was for her.
Yeah, she was a keeper.
She had no interest in me. I mean, that's just really how it was. None. But there was all these pretty girls that worked there. It was Danielle, there was Inez, and who you had a little crush on.
Totally did.
And I loved it, and then we went to Muddy's.
Hey, Inez, you want to come home and meet my wife? I didn't say that.
But we went to, then you took me to Muddy's.
Yeah.
Muddy's was what I've always wanted a coffee shop to be.
Yeah.
Paris is where I spent most of my time because I had a crush on a waitress.
Curious.
I have no memory of waitress names at Muddy's. Muddy's was where I went when I was just.
Lots of meth people, lots of meth waitresses.
Yeah. I don't remember. But it's where I used to buy my LSD.
Yeah.
And. We gigged there several times.
Yeah. Open stage. If you schedule it way in advance, they will allow you to play there, but you got to bring your own gear. You got to bring your own sound equipment.
And it was on the balcony.
And you have to sit on that damn balcony. And
it's
if you don't.
5.5 feet tall.
Duck really a lot. You're going to bonk your noggin.
Right. I don't have a fond memory of that one.
Because you were on the acid and it gave you the shits. And so we're trying to get through
this gig.
We're trying to get through this gig, and you're like, okay. It's just another set. Okay. It's just another set. And then you'd go all run off. I'd say, are you doing okay? And you'd come back. You'd say, I'm okay for now. So we did that gig, a number of gigs, but one of them was the diarrhea gig. Bad acid. Dirty.
A very dirty acid.
Dirty bad.
And every time I trip, if I have to poop during the trip,
yeah,
I can't find my asshole.
Oh.
It wanders off. I don't know. It's just
this is why this is the mystery for years and years. Why you don't want to drop a load while you're tripping? I didn't know why, because you can't find your asshole.
That's right. It wanders off.
All right.
Everything's different. Your spatial recognition is warped.
And our drummer Joey said, "Don't ever look at yourself in the mirror when you're tripping."
And I totally did.
And you did.
It was awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's like, wow, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes.
So then we went to Muddy's. Then we went to Thornton Thornton was first. And then when you finally moved back, that's when we went on gigs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then our very, very first gig was at the Thornton Twin Towers Lounge with an old guy named Grizz.
Grizz.
Yeah.
And it was a cowboy bar.
It was a rock and roller bar. You know, you would say, no, it was a cowboy bar.
It's the Twin Towers Lounge in Thornton, Colorado. They had horseshoes as part of their...
As their decor.
They are called the Twin Towers, and they have two horseshoes.
There were two water towers.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to name your bar the Twin Towers, maybe your logo should incorporate that and not horseshoes. So, I'm still 17.
Yeah.
No, I might be. I know, I was 18 by then.
All right.
Still not old enough to buy cigarettes in Utah.
Yeah.
But I quit in Colorado.
Right on. So,
when I became legal is when I stopped stealing cigarettes from 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay.
You know? So we started out. Mm-hmm. Now the set list in my head goes as follows.
Yes.
Indigo
starting,
Girls.
No, starting was Helter Skelter.
Oh, good start.
Dee 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 dee.
Okay. When I get to the bottom, you go back to the top of the slide, and you stop and you turn and you go for a ride, then you get to the bottom and you see me again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the U2 version. Which is how we would have known it, because it was you two. Okay.
So we did that, and we did Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine.
Yes.
And you probably did some fucking Simon and Garfunkel thing. I don't remember. I don't know.
All right.
But we played a Pink Floyd tune. We played Comfortably Numb.
Yeah.
And the crowd was not with us. It felt
against
mildly
us.
Hostile.
Yes.
In our direction.
About to get their pitchforks.
And so
throw their hats.
You had a moment of clarity and genius, uh-huh. and said, "Okay, follow me."
And I knew you could.
And I tried.
Yeah.
I don't know how well I did, but I tried.
No, you did.
And then you started playing.
Do 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 do.
Wanted Dead or Alive by the Bon Jovi.
Do 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 do.
Which the cowboy crowd ate the fuck up.
They said, "He's a cowboy."
Yep. On a steel horse I ride, and I'm wanted.
Oh, I missed that. Try me again, too.
And I'm wanted. That was fucking, that was awesome.
That was a good one. That was a good night. And that was the first night.
Yeah.
You received your complimentary.
My free beer for doing the open stage.
Right. Which
they just handed it to me.
Incidentally, you hate.
I drank it. I drank all of it.
And so you said you went back to the Utah area.
I was out. It was in December.
Yeah.
And my plan was to go back to College of Eastern Utah,
uh-huh.
you know, in January.
Uh-huh.
And so this was just a fucking diversion.
Right.
While I had 3 weeks with nothing to do and nowhere to live. So I go out, and then we all drove home on the 23rd of December.
Okay.
And the 24th comes, and I'm hanging out with my family, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Huh.
And then Christmas comes, and did you come out?
Probably.
How did I get to Denver?
He probably said, "Dude, I'm in Utah." And I said, "I know just what you mean." And I got in my Jetta, and I slapped the tape player, and I put on some U2
Yeah.
Probably some Marillion, and came out and got your sorry ass.
I think you were out here because you had family out here.
Maybe so.
But you were out here, and I begged you to take me back.
And we went.
And we went. And, all right. And I spent a little bit of time.
In my parents' basement also.
In my parents' basement. You made me eggs. They're very tasty. I remember this morning, and I think this is when I was visiting the first time. When you came down, I was on this little twin mattress.
Uh-huh.
I was happily asleep.
Yeah.
And you came down and said, "Hold this baby."
Oh. It was Lizzie.
Yeah. And you handed me this baby. I had never held a baby in my life at this point. And you said, "I'm going to make you some eggs." And you ran back upstairs.
Well, Terry was at work.
Yeah.
Somebody had to work.
Sure. And so I'm having a chat with the baby who was being quite, as I recall,
charming.
I have there's no memory of crying, and I always remember when kids cry. So we just chatted for a while amiably, yeah, as you do with a child.
Uh-huh.
What's your take on Egyptian politics? You know, how do you feel about the Brexit and stuff like that?
Right.
But, and then you came back with a plate of, if I recall correctly, nine eggs.
A lot of eggs. Salt and pepper. You're a hungry
man. Handed it off to me, took the baby back, and then just left, didn't say a word.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay.
All right.
So we get out of Denver, and I'm hanging out in the basement. And let us just say that no one really wanted me there.
At the basement.
In the basement.
My dad, my mom, Terry, would be a little bit more happy if you weren't living in the basement.
So
I moved to Utah.
Yeah.
That'll show you.
Yeah.
They congratulated me. They said, "Thanks for getting rid of Jeff, buddy." I said, "You're kidding, obviously. Thanks for moving to Denver and making Jeff go there." I said, "Shut up. I did not."
What? Oh, the people back here?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I did Elephant Man. I was Dr. Trees in Elephant Man.
Yeah.
And I was...
That was before. That was the first half of the show.
Oh, okay.
I will have titled swindlers mucking up the pitch.
No, I did another version of Elephant Man.
Oh, did you? Where?
Yeah, at the La Raza Theater in Denver.
Oh.
And I went back there with great ideas. I said, "I'm going to show those motherfuckers at the UVCC. I'm going to show them how brilliant I am, and I'm going to start a theater company based out of UVCC, and I did all my research, and I did all my paperwork, and I made a proposal, and I gave it to Randy King, and that was a mistake.
Yeah?
He did not want my kind in there.
Well, we got him from Idaho, didn't we?
He directed at Worm Creek, but he got his MFA from Utah State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't like me much either.
No. And I'm not sure why. It just it seemed like he got along with us better than Kim, but he still would backstab you or me every so often.
Johnny.
Like I would use him as a reference. I'm like, "I thought I did some good work for you."
Yeah.
And then he would as a reference for new work or a new part or whatever thing, and he would down talk me. So
I always thought I showed him up because I knew how to drive the big truck they bought, and they didn't. It was a double clutch. That's all.
So I went back, and I took theater, and I wrote my first songs. I did, movies. Took a movies class. Tried to do a independent study, mm-hmm, which Randy did not approve. And so I couldn't get my student loans. So, and then I was working as a security guard and hung out with Holly and John and...
Oh, yeah.
Tess and Lizette and George. And don't you give me the eyeball.
Now you're just making up names.
No, you know George. You remember George. Tess had it bad for George.
Tess had it bad for Clint.
They were together. Okay. But Tess had it bad for George because he had that long, luxurious, beautiful hair. Very fit, very handsome.
That was me once.
Well, you are still.
Well, here's what you did before you left town and went back to Utah.
Yeah.
Abandoning me in Denver.
I did. I totally did.
All by myself.
Yeah. Which you didn't mind, I am sure.
No, that was good. But at Paris on the Platte, there was this little group of pencil jockeys.
Yeah.
That we had been just conversant with the whole time.
Uh-huh.
One of them was Everett.
Everett!
And you looked at Everett one night and basically told him that I was moving in with him.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, he's got to move in with you. Do you guys have a room?
And Everett's like, what? And you were like, no, he has to move in with you.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Not at all.
Sorry about.
Not at all. I ended up living with Everett for a while. I got to see Cindy Crawford naked because of it.
And Willow.
Well, that's where things just go off the rails.
All right.
Willow was my, I've called her this before, and I apologize to her, but I have a chip on my shoulder about that relationship.
Uh-huh.
But she was like a tour guide girlfriend. I mean, I really liked her. I liked her a lot.
Uh-huh.
She didn't really like me
because
she hates men.
Oh.
Or hated them at the time. And there I was, a manifestation of all things manly.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, you're a little femmy sometimes.
Long hair, pretty face. But yeah, she didn't, she didn't warm up to me at all.
Although you were living with her.
Yep.
Sharing a room.
Well, I was with Everett for about 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And his cat kept peeing on my stuff.
Oh.
And, which cats just do. They just pee on my stuff. I don't know what it is about me that makes cats pee on my stuff.
Cats pee on everything.
I've never hurt a cat in my life.
I don't think you should take it personally about cats.
Dude, they're not just... So the cat... And everything, all of that. And then I met Willow and a couple of times. And then we fell into bed together. And then I moved in. And it was two doors down from Everett.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Yep. And so we stayed there for a while. And then she and I broke up. And I don't remember how that went.
And then I abandoned you. Went back to UVCC.
Somewhere in there.
Did that.
You got me out of the parents' basement.
Yeah.
Which was important.
Yeah.
And then it felt like. Then jumped in the car and drove to Utah. I realized that the timing, there was a little bit of timing.
Little bit of timing.
But out of sight, out of mind, off you went to Utah.
Uh-huh.
And you took Terry and the kids.
Yeah. I came back, we came back a number of times in that Jetta.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. To get you and to cart you around and stuff like that.
And then you guys moved back out.
But during this time, I was a security guard at the Hugo New Steel Yard. And I said, you know, I know a lot of songs and I play a lot of songs. Why don't I try writing songs? And that was it. That was 1992. And I wrote Santa Maria, Don't Tell Me, Passing Mountains, Lori Ann, Lie, Lori, Lie. Best ones that have ever been written in the history of all recorded music. Or at least one of some of my best ones.
I love each and every one of those songs.
Right. And then I came back. I said, Jeff, here's what we're doing. In the meantime, you'd met a woman.
Which one?
Well,
which one?
The specific
which
one you
specific
said.
One?
This girl has to sing with us.
Oh, Darla.
Yeah.
Darla. Darla was chaos wrapped in red hair. She.
But we really, you really spent with her. You said, I think she's working somewhere in Colorado Springs. So we got in the Jetta, went to Colorado Springs looking for, who knows, looking for Darla in Colorado Springs like it's a small town. It's a large town.
It's a much bigger town than I thought it would be.
Full of evangelical Christians.
We did not find her.
We did not find her that trip, but we did get to sleep over at that at the one girl's house who told us about Beerus Interruptus. Beerus Interruptus is when you have beers and then you're interrupted and you can't have any more beers and then you fall asleep. Beerus Interruptus.
Oh.
I said, we're having that. She said, could we stay over? She said, okay. You and me both.
Did we meet her somewhere?
Yeah, there's the park with the... amphitheater.
That we played in a little bit.
Yeah. But no one was there. It was the middle of the
night. Yeah.
Then we went to the bar.
That was our Colorado Springs gig.
Yeah, yes. Our only one. I think I, in the future, will boycott Colorado Springs for gigs.
Okay.
But then, and I think her name was Lisa, and then she had us over at her house that night. And we did not find Darla. No. However, we went back to Denver, played some more gigs, mm-hmm. got familiar with John Steinemann and mm-hmm. his open stage empire. And we kept following him around everywhere. He did an open stage like 3 or 4 nights a week.
He had the best gear.
He totally did.
He had an inline tuner. Yeah.
It's not a tuna.
All right, here's where we're at.
Oh, okay, here's where we're at.
We're obviously going to have to record more later tonight.
Oh, all right.
Okay, we'll do a part
Wait,
2.
Where are we then? Then we're back in Denver, and we're doing the new music, and we're trying to find Darla.
Right, so we'll come back to Darla. Who stole my boots?
Girl.